listening to The Crock. KNNA 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
If you have questions you have been wanting to ask a pastor, but haven't for whatever reason, then here is your chance. You can send your questions to the Y-Files, where we will then ask your question on the Y-Files program on your behalf. Just go to the Y-Files Facebook page and submit a question. It's that easy. Tune in to the Y-Files every Sunday at 2 p.m. for new episodes. You don't want to pass this up.
The LP in KNNA LP stands for low power. It means we only have a certain amount of wattage to broadcast our station. So, when you hear us start to fade, go to our free KNNA app for your mobile device or go to the web at www.thecross957.org and listen to us wherever you go.
Abortion. Just the word makes many of us sweat. We can lose sleep thinking about how we respond to conversations about it. Much of our culture's conversation about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide is motivated by anger and fear and pain. Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Solomink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Our ministry exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. You can find resources that will give you motivation, get you education, and help you take action about life issues in your family and your community. Visit our website at www.lutheransforlife.org or call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433. And be motivated by the gospel of joy and hope in Jesus Christ.
As many of you already know, KNNA 95.7 The Cross operates entirely on volunteer work. It also functions entirely on donations. That's right, donations provided to the station by listeners like you. If you would like to help KNNA grow and continue, please consider a donation. You can go to the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org for more information and to donate.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship on Wednesday evenings, 6:30. Please join us, won't you? And may God richly bless your day.
To another episode of The Y-Files. Welcome to KNNA's The Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, and I'm here to ask some questions to our pastors that maybe you just don't want to for some reason, whatever reason that might be. So joining me this afternoon is Eric from Off on a Tangent.
He's
helping me out this afternoon since David cannot be here. He is preoccupied with other things going on. So
he's performing elsewhere.
We
have quite a cast here at KNNA.
Yeah, we do. So so Eric agreed to come on the program. And, you know, Eric, I would have asked you before, but you're always telling me that the trip from Seward to Lincoln can be kind of a hassle sometimes. So I just kind of I respect that, and I don't ever ask you. But I'm glad this happened.
Yeah, me too.
I'm glad to have you on.
Thanks very much.
So again, Eric is he's one of the hosts of Off on a Tangent. every Saturday evening, or almost every Saturday evening.
Yes.
7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
For sanity, it's not every Saturday evening.
Yeah. Yeah, so thanks for coming on to the Y-Files, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
This afternoon, we have Pastor Jesse Burns from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Ventura, Iowa. And I'm emphasizing Iowa because the last time he was on the program, I said California. Because there is a Ventura, California, which is
yes.
where I was born. So that's why that came out. So
that makes sense.
Ventura, Iowa. That's eastern Iowa, right?
Correct, yeah. Well, north central, if you're talking about the whole state, but Missouri's in a district, Iowa District East. That's correct.
All right. So, Pastor Jesse Burns, welcome to the Y-Files.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Glad to have you on here. So, this morning, I went to church, and, you know, I never really know what to expect from a sermon. There's just so many topics that a pastor can speak on, whatever the scripture is given for that Sunday. I mean, they can talk about all sorts of things. Well, this morning, Pastor Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, basically his title of his sermon was "Jesus Ruins Funerals," and it was a really good message. How Jesus is there for us when it comes to death, and that is our hope is Jesus. And I bring that up because a lot of things that we're going to be talking about this afternoon and within the hour is death, and it just kind of coincides with the message here at church. So anybody who listened on the radio or is at church at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, they're going to get even more of an earful on death. Not necessarily funerals, but more on death. So let's go ahead and get started with this. The first question that we have is, what is death and why is there death?
That's a great, great question. Really, the short answer, which we'll expound on a little bit here, is that death is the result of sin. When we consider death, I think it's helpful to first consider life. That God created man. He created man from the dust of the earth. The description in Genesis is so beautiful. That after speaking all of this creation into being, God then gets down into the dirt, and he molds a man, and then breathes into him the breath of life. He creates him as a body and a soul together. And then, of course, from there, we don't want to forget his taking out of the side of Adam, his taking of the rib, and then building the woman. And bringing them together as husband and wife, and giving them the blessing to procreate and to fill the earth, to be fruitful and multiply. As God creates Adam, he gives to Adam this whole creation, and he tells him to have dominion over it, over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the animals and so forth. And he shows him all of the plants of the earth, and he says, here, this is for you, for food. But he tells him there is one tree of which he's not to eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord says in Genesis 2, verse 17, that in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, as the narrative goes on from chapter 2 and gets into chapter 3, we see how the serpent comes and deceives Eve, not to excuse Adam, certainly, for Adam is there with her.
Right.
We hear Moses, the human author, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records for us that Adam is with her, and she takes of the fruit, eats it and gives it to her husband. He eats it. And the text says that both of their eyes were opened and they saw that they were naked and they became afraid. Now, we might stop and say, well, now, wait a second. They didn't die. They're still living.
Right.
They see that they're naked and they sew fig leaves together. They try to cover up their shame. They hear the Lord God coming and they're afraid and they hide behind the trees. And so forth. but really, really they are now spiritually dead.
Mm-hmm. So a death. Sorry to interrupt. So a death actually did occur. It's not like, okay, now you're just not going to live forever. Eventually you'll die. There was a real death that happened in that moment of choice.
And so we can speak of death in a threefold manner. And I wanted to begin with that, because really that brings about this threefold manner of death that we're speaking of. This is the state that man is in since the fall. We might call a spiritual death, and that is, death is a separation. No matter what kind of which of the threefold emphasis we're talking about, there's separation. So when we're talking about spiritual death, there is now a separation between God and his creature, man. Now man, who once was in communion with the Lord, who the Lord brought all the animals to, and he named, where the man was not afraid of the Lord at all, but delighted in his presence. Now man is terrified of God, and he hides from him. He hides from his creator. And so there's this separation, this enmity between God and man. And so here's this spiritual death that has occurred. Now, I suspect that's not exactly the topic or the portion of the topic that most people think about when they think about death.
Right.
They're talking about physical death, what we might call temporal death, or the second part of death that I wanted to touch on here, and that is the tearing asunder of man, body and soul. Again, separation. Mm-hmm. When God created Adam, he created body and soul, and he brought those two together, and there was life. Now, the curse of the fall is that the day comes when body and soul are rent asunder. And so you have the death of the body. The next aspect to death then, and I suspect we'll get into this a bit as well, is eternal death. And that is the eternal separation from God, where man then is in hell, in the torments of eternity. And so the short answer then, why is there death? Really, it's because of sin. Sin is the cause of death. St. Paul, writing to the Romans, tells us by the one man sin came death, and we all die because we have all sinned. Mm-hmm. That is our that is the curse of the fall. Now we're talking about sin, and it's causing death. I want people to kind of distinguish between as Lutherans we talk about as original sin and actual sin. When I say that sin is the cause of death, of course, certainly actual sins can bring death, physical death. But the sin that we're speaking of primarily here is that original sin, or that inherited sin, which we have all received from our first father and mother in Eden, in the fall. That is the cause of death.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was just going to ask you, well, how is it that we've all received original sin? And you just mentioned it because we are all descendants of Adam and Eve.
Right. Yeah, and you know, we can't pass the buck off on them as if it's merely their fault. We share in that. Share in that. It is our condition by nature, as David says, from conception in Psalm 51.
Scripture doesn't say, Jesus doesn't say in Scripture, okay, everybody, it's not your fault that you're sinning, it's Adam and Eve, so you're okay. I mean, nowhere in Scripture does it say that. It says we all have original sin. Everyone is sinful.
Right. And then our those actions, or inactions, those things we call actual sin, they come out of that, they flow out of that. They are the symptom of the deeper issue inside, which is that original condition of sin.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa. He is the pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church. And it is time to take a break, so we'll be back in just a few moments. So don't go away. But as you are waiting for us to come back, go ahead and go to our Facebook page, The Why Files, and there you can submit a question that we can answer or ask for you on this program on your behalf to a pastor coming up in the near future. So if you have a question, go to our Facebook page and post that. Like our page, share our page, comment on our page, and take a look there what the things that I've posted. I've been posting videos from Pastor Eric Brown. I post videos from this program and links to this program and upcoming topics that we've got. So, yeah, I try to keep as active as possible. So go to that Facebook page while you're waiting for us to come back. So do that and listen to these spots. I wanted to say advertisements, but they're not advertisements. They're not commercials either.
No, yeah.
Anyways, we'll be right back.
A word from our sponsors.
Since 1776, American involvement in military actions and wars have been almost more numerous than any care to count. There have been hundreds of times our service people have been dispatched, and they went, and they served valiantly and always honorably. However, it proves practically again and again that freedom is never free. Freedom requires constant vigilance, devotion, determination, courage, sacrifice, even to the placing of one's life on the line to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and to ensure that our people and our way of life is preserved to ourselves and our children and our children's children. Sometimes one's life is the price. Men and women serving in the United States Marine Corps, the United States Navy, the United States Army, the United States Air Force, the United States Coast Guard have answered that call. Their selflessness, their devotion to duty, the pledging of their lives for America and her Constitution have served to preserve this nation throughout her history. They remain on watch so that you and I, everyday Americans, can build our homes and families in peace and attend school, go to our jobs, enjoy the blessings of liberty in our lives, and sleep in safety every night in our beds without fear. To you all who are now serving or who have served in the past, from all of us at KNNALP FM 95.7, we send you our deepest and sincerest thank you. You will never be forgotten.
Abortion. Just the word makes many of us sweat. We can lose sleep thinking about how we respond to conversations about it. Much of our culture's conversation about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide is motivated by anger and fear and pain. Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Solomink, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. Our ministry exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. You can find resources that will give you motivation, get you education, and help you take action about life issues in your family and your community. Visit our website at www.lutheransforlife.org or call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433. And be motivated by the gospel of joy and hope in Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, along here with Eric. Thanks for being on the show again, Eric.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. We are joined this afternoon by Pastor Jesse Burns from Redeemer Lutheran Church, or at Redeemer Lutheran Church from Ventura, Iowa. Iowa, not California. Iowa. Still giving myself a hard
there
time.
There are other
that,
Venturas, so. Even if nobody's heard of them.
Right. So we have been discussing death and what is death and why do we have death. And Pastor, you have mentioned that death is basically just a result of sin because of Adam and Eve. And now we deal with original sin and actual sin. And as we got to the break, Eric off the air mentioned that he's got something that he wanted to ask. So, Eric?
Yeah, I thought your kind of three-way division or three parts of death was really interesting, and it kind of brought to mind an old standard Bible verse. I'm sure you recognize Matthew 10:28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So the first part of the verse, it seems to me pretty obviously it's discussing temporal death or temporal separation, the body and the soul. And the second part seems like it's referring to eternal death, which you described being in hell. But my question is, what is the destruction that's happening in hell? Because, I mean, we talk about it as an eternal, ongoing kind of death, and I've heard it described as kind of the final separation between our, the final state of our souls and separation from God. But what is the destruction that's being described there?
The suffering, the eternal suffering of hell. Now, when you say, when we talk about destruction, I'm glad you bring this up, because there is a thought about death. It's called annihilationism, with this idea that when someone dies, and I believe this is the the Jehovah's Witness kind of idea, is that the unbeliever, okay, we're talking about going to hell, right? So the non-believer, there's this idea that that they're just going to be annihilated,
and that they're no longer exist.
They're just going to cease to exist.
Okay.
And so that is not what's being talked about here, but rather it's this this idea of eternal eternal dying death. Like you said before, separation from God in hell. I mean, the scriptures have so many descriptions of hell, torment, lake of fire, and these kinds of things. But this ongoing darkness and death. Where the worm does not die and the gnashing of teeth and all of that. It's just another description then of that. And to put it then into kind of juxtaposition to the idea of the destroying of the body as in physical death, that for the Christian, the Christian can face physical death with the confidence that he is delivered from it, so that we know, we believe, we know, we trust in the fact that the one to whom we belong, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died and risen again in the flesh, is going to raise our bodies in the flesh, and that there is nothing, because we belong to Christ, because we are in him who died and rose again, there is nothing, St. Paul says to the Romans, chapter 8, that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor anything at all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So that we can face that destruction of the body, if you will, with the confidence that we will not endure the destruction of in eternal damnation. That answer the question?
Yeah, I think so. So just kind of to one quick extension from the way you described annihilationism. Boy, usually I can say words like that, okay? But annihilationism, it sounds like the way you described it, it sounds like it's an understanding of death that is more focused on the physical and not really accounting for the spiritual aspects of death. Is that right?
I think if I,
souls can't burn up, right?
Right. I mean, I think the idea with annihilationism is, whether it be physical or spiritual, that all of a sudden it just ceases, that it's just as if it wasn't there before,
right?
You know? It's like, you know, you're alive and then you're just nowhere.
Right.
And so what that does then is it does damage actually, to the scriptural doctrine of hell, and of the eternal torment, that the scriptures teach.
Okay.
So I was going to ask you, is there any hope when it comes to death? I think you just answered all of that already, which is perfectly fine. So what I wanted to ask you next was, maybe you already answered this. So if you have, you know, we'll just go on to the next thing. But the next question I have along with this is what happens when we die, either if you're a believer or a non-believer? I mean, what does happen?
Right. Well, first, you know, we talked about the creation of soul and body. And so soul and body are separated. Now, there's essentially what we might say is two tracks here. The soul of the believer goes to be with the Lord and is at peace.
Okay, time out right there. I'm sorry. You just started, but I'm going to ask you this. What does it mean to be with God? Because, you know, a lot of conception says, oh, that just means as soon as you die, you go to heaven. But then you read parts of Scripture and it says you'll be with God. Well, is that two separate things?
I think where we get into kind of sticky issues with this is a downplaying of the resurrection, which is kind of the end of where I'm going. I think especially as I don't know if it's being Americans, if it's just being 21st century people, if it's our background in kind of deistic kind of things or Platonic views of the world, we tend to kind of look at the body as a bad thing. Body bad, spirit or soul good. And so we tend to emphasize, you know, kind of the spiritual aspect of things. You know, we see in the scriptures, you know, the souls of the believers in the book of Revelation awaiting, you know, the coming of Christ and crying out from under the altar and so forth. We know that the believers go to be with the Lord. I think we would say go to heaven, but it's not yet kind of the final resurrection picture. You know, it's not okay. the final resurrection event. It's not a holding tank. It's not kind of a purgatory idea. But they are with the Lord and at peace with Him and in comfort.
There's a lot of people out there who will take the Lazarus example, who was dead for 3 days. And then Jesus going over and then raising him from the dead, and they would say things like, "Well, how cruel is that? Here's this guy who's in heaven, and then God yanked him out of heaven to come back on earth. I mean, how cruel is that? That's not a loving God or a loving Jesus. I mean, and that's kind of where my question comes from. Like, well, what does it mean to be in heaven or to be with God? Like, so
before the final coming or whatever's going to happen, right?
Exactly.
And so I think. You know, when we de-emphasize the bodily aspect of this, or the importance of the body, and start to over spiritualize it, you know, we tend to, I think, talk that way. You know, this cruelty of yanking Lazarus out of heaven, kind of an idea, as if his body didn't matter. So at the point of death, the soul of the believer, you know, is at peace with the Lord, but what about his body? And his body then is here on earth, right? And is laid to rest. And we can talk about funerals and why that's important for the dead person, as well as, you know, those who are gathered to mourn. For the unbeliever, at the point of death, the soul goes to be in torment, both then his body also into the ground, both awaiting the final resurrection and judgment day.
You're listening to the Y-Files. Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns. We got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Let's go. This is your radio. Your station.
KNNA 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
I'm Callie.
And I'm Ashley.
And we host Notes from the Stage, KNNA LP 95.7 FM's Broadway and movie musical extravaganza.
Every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m., we will bring you all that jazz, music to make you think you can defy gravity, and even remind you of dreams you've dreamed.
So don't forget to tune in right here on KNNA LP 95.7 FM.
My heart wants to beat like the wings of the birds that rise from the lake to the trees.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship each Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. Thank you, and may God richly bless you today and always in Jesus.
Lovable Jack Kirk.
And I am Nancy. And every Friday night on FM 95.7, Jack and I co-host a big band swing era program that we call When Music Was Music.
We do our program live every Friday night from 7 to 9. And since we are live, there are no do-overs for Nancy and me. You get our stumbling over words, our bantering back and forth, and all the rest of our bloopers.
It's all part of the fun, and we do it every Friday night from 7 to 9, here on The Cross, KNNA LP FM 95.7.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, and hosting with me this afternoon is Eric from Off on a Tangent.
Good afternoon.
And then...
Trying to stay on tangent.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little bit difficult after doing the show that we do.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm out of breath. I just had to go let my kids in. And we're three flights up. I didn't use the elevator.
You mean
the
you let them out of the cage in the basement?
Finally, yes.
Oh, okay. It's time for their morning run.
Okay, so joining us this afternoon is Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa. He is the pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church. So if you happen to be in the area, there's a good church to go to on Sunday.
That's right.
So, Pastor, welcome back to the Y-Files. And we've been talking about, well, ultimately death and sin and more death.
And life.
And life. That's true. And life. So we've had a wide range of discussions here already. So if you have missed the first half hour of the program, well, first of all, don't stop listening. Keep listening to this program. But if you wait till about 3:15, by the way, it is September 16th on a Sunday. If you wait till about 3:15, 3:20, I'll have this show posted on the website, thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org. Just go to the Y-Files page, and I'll have it posted up there about 20 minutes or so after the show, and that way you can hear the first half hour of this program. You don't want to miss it, so look into that if you did miss it. So, okay, so I think we started leading towards funerals.
Funerals, yeah.
So you want to talk about funerals,
Pastor? I didn't mean to sound so happy about it, but it was a really good lead-in. The transition was flawless.
Well, if we're going to talk about death, we ought to talk about funerals, right? I mean, because contrary to the opinion of some well-meaning individuals, funerals do matter. I've heard of folks, have not myself dealt with this yet, but know others who have, who loved one dies and the wishes of the deceased are, I don't want you to have a funeral for me. Don't do a funeral. I don't want any fuss over me. And whereas on the one hand that maybe comes from a well-meaning humility, it also, if those wishes are followed, kind of leaves something missing. Because a funeral, with a Christian understanding of a funeral, it is a public confession of the faith concerning things of, like death and burial, resurrection, and eternal life. And a Christian's funeral is a worship service. Mm-hmm. And it's opportunity for the church, for the body of Christ, now the church militant, to care for the body of this person who has now entered into the church triumphant, because that body is going to await the resurrection. It's not as though, you know, we talked about death being the separation of the soul from the body. It's not as though the soul is what's important and the body doesn't matter. As Christians, we don't buy into this idea that the body is simply a shell that the soul animates. Going back to creation, God creates body and soul together. And it is, we take care of that body because on the final day, on the last day, when our Lord Christ returns, he's going to raise the body of the dead, all the dead, as we confess in the Athanasian Creed, all the dead are going to be raised. And as we were finishing up the last segment, souls and bodies reunited, the unbelievers to the torments of hell, but for the believers, into the joys of eternal life. And so the point of the funeral is, on the one hand, for the comfort and for the proclamation of that glorious gospel message to the body of Christ in the church militant, which is now mourning, which recognizes that the death is not our friend, that it has separated us from our loved one. And yet we do so kind of as in defiance of death, with the proclamation throughout the Christian funeral service that Christ is raised, and that this one is going to be raised as well, unto eternal life in the flesh. So the purpose to the funeral really is kind of twofold. We are caring for that loved one's body because the body matters. And we are comforting the grieving. We're comforting the church together with the message of Christ. And the scriptures show numerous places where the care of the body takes place. And this morning's gospel, you mentioned Pastor Moline's sermon, mm-hmm. which, knowing Pastor Moline, I'm sure it was phenomenal. We see in the reading this morning the young man of Nain being processed out of the city gate of Nain, headed for the cemetery in this funeral procession, that the body mattered. Mm-hmm. What they were doing mattered. And again, you know, we could look at examples of our Lord Jesus on the cross. The women come and they take care of the body. Before that, Joseph of Arimathea taking the body of Jesus down, laying it in a tomb. The women coming back with the spices to anoint his body and so forth, to prepare him for burial. We look at the Old Testament and you see Jacob when he dies in Egypt. They carry him out of Egypt and into to be buried near Abraham and so forth. You see Joseph, even 400 years after his death, his bones being carried out of Egypt. You see over and over again the care of the body taking place. You see the importance of the funeral itself.
Okay, so really quick, I just want to point out to anyone who's thinking about something you just mentioned a few moments ago about the bodies are raised and people go to heaven or they go to hell. If anybody is asking the question, well, why does God send people to hell? Or if that's the question that you have in mind, which is not actually the right question, but you might have that question in your head. I actually just did an episode last week with Pastor Jack Kirk, and that is on the website if you want to listen to that. The whole entire episode is based off of that question. So if you are curious about why people do go to hell, listen in on that one. It's very in-depth. You might have to listen to it a couple of times to get it all in. But it's really good, so tune into that.
I have a quick question for him. Is that okay? It goes along with this.
So does mine.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, but since I'm... Okay. Yeah, I'll let you know.
Okay, all right. Yeah, just, I'll make this quick, and if it's totally inconsistent... Then
no, I'll yell at you.
But okay, so the way you're talking about how in a lot of cultures the body matters, and it kind of brings to mind two opposing examples. One is the stories that you hear about the tombs of the pharaohs in Egypt, and I think some Chinese kings too, that it seemed like they thought the body really, really mattered too, to the point where they did, you know, the wrapping and preserving, and then in the Chinese tombs, they have, you know, all these clay soldiers, like millions of them.
Yep.
So that's the one extreme over there. Then on the other extreme, when Hunter S. Thompson died, who I don't know that he was a Christian, but he had his remains cremated and then blown out of a cannon.
That was actually part of my next question. So yes, it ties right in really
so
well.
So is there any problem with that, or should we be wrapping our bodies in wrappings and millions of clay soldiers?
wow, those are two two extremes, but I think they serve to illustrate the point. I think we should talk about the cremation and scattering of ashes thing here, maybe in a little bit more detail, because that has a long history, actually, coming out of paganism, and it is anti-Christian, anti-resurrection. I guess I can't speak to the clay soldiers so much, except for the fact that I would imagine they're there to protect the body of the king or whatever. I think as we're facing this question, that maybe the rule of thumb to bear in mind here is, that everything we do to the body, we want to do respectfully, as understanding the body as God's creation, and so to show respect and humility before Him as the one who, like you brought it before, you know, fear not Him who can destroy the body. You don't need to put up soldiers to protect your earthly remains, because guess what? Those bodies being buried in the ground are going to go through the what we might call the natural thing that happens to dead bodies, right? They're going to decompose and so forth. But we know though that that those bodies are going to be raised. Because of that, that gives value. It gives value to them. What gives value to them most especially is the fact that the Lord God became incarnate. That is to say, he became enfleshed. He took on human flesh like ours, not just kind of dropping out of the sky as appearing to be man, but actually through conception and birth and so forth to redeem the body. And so we want to be we respect life because it is God's creation. He's given it and he's redeemed it at the cost of his own blood. And for the Christian, the Holy Spirit has sanctified that body. So the burning of the body and the scattering of ashes really is not a respectful thing to scatter those ashes, that is to say. And cremation, we can talk about a little bit just in a more general sense, but the scattering of the ashes most certainly does not respect that body.
This is the Wi-Fi Files. We got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, old lovable Jack.
What?
We lost power to the radio again.
Again?
Yeah.
What are we going to do unless people can donate to us and help us, you know, keep on the air and make the repairs?
I know. With donations, we can buy backup systems and equipment so that when something goes down, as it happens, we can quickly replace it and get back on the air for our fans.
Boy, it would sure be neat if everybody that we know could donate to us. Just help us out a little bit.
Yeah, so they can just go to www.thecross957.org.
Really?
Yes, that's www.thecross957.org.
And it's real easy from there, isn't it?
Just click on that donate button and follow the instructions. Or maybe they could snail mail it, Jack.
They could send a check to us right here at KNNALP, 3825 Wildbriar Lane, Lincoln, Nebraska 68516. See, Nancy, I do remember where we work.
Well, hello there. I'm old lovable Jack's sister, Debbie, and I am reminding you to tune in to When Music Was Music on KNNALP FM 95.7 in Lincoln. In fact, I encourage you to tune in to all of FM 95.7's great programming. I live near Chicago, and I listen on my computer. You can too. You can find this great station at www.thecross957.org, and you can even download the KNNA app. Then you will not only be able to hear all the great programs wherever you go, but you won't miss my brother's fun big band program either. I know you'll be richly rewarded through FM 95.7's daily faith strengthening programs, along with all the fun entertainment programs too. Tune in. I do.
Welcome back to the Wi-Files. I am Captain Kirk, along here with Eric, who is joining me this afternoon.
Hello.
And we are joined by Pastor Jesse Burns from Ventura, Iowa, and Redeemer Lutheran Church. We've been discussing a lot about death and life, sin, original sin, temporal death, eternal death. This has just been a loaded
episode.
All
the death.
All the death. It's been great. And just before the break, we started talking about cremation, and that's another form of burial that people can choose from. And we talked briefly a little bit off air why some people do cremation, and some people say it's because it's cheaper. So I guess my question is, you mentioned how cremation is kind of a paganistic thing. Is it okay for us to be cremating our dead here nowadays?
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you brought that up, because I thought it'd be good for us to kind of step back, you know, away from the question of the scattering of ashes, which, you know, there are some major issues with that. Cremation in and of itself is not necessarily a sinful thing. The question that I always want to pose to people is, and not just with this question, but with many, many issues, is the question of why. Why are we looking at doing this? And I'd say the most common reason people, in my experience anyway, have gone the cremation route is that, quite frankly, it is cheaper than a traditional burial. And people are facing kind of these issues with, you know, surrounding the funeral. It costs a lot to die, you know, let's just face it. It does. And so people opt to go the cremation route. In and of itself, that is not a sinful situation. So I don't want to burden the consciences of those people who may be listening, who, you know, who have you know, dealt with the death of a loved one who has been cremated or so forth. There are sinful reasons, though, and the practice of cremating really does come out of paganism. You know, in the scriptures, we don't have examples of cremation being used. There are examples of death by fire, and that's never seen as a good thing. Right. I mean, that's kind of seen as a curse. But we do have numerous examples of death and then burial, and we mentioned those before. You know, whether it be Joseph or Jacob, Isaac, you know, so forth. Stephen, our Lord Jesus, Lazarus, and the man from Nain, although Jesus interrupted that and raised him that time anyway. Eventually, he did die and was buried. So cremation itself is not necessarily a sinful thing. Is it the preferred thing? Well, that might be a little trickier question to get into.
Could I ask you a quick follow-up? We don't have to spend like the next 10 minutes on a history lesson, but I'm really interested because you've said it a couple of times that cremation and the scattering of the ashes comes out of paganism. And paganism can have like a really long history, but even then, is cremation a relatively recent thing that people do now, or has it been around for a really long time, part of a long pagan tradition?
Right. I mean, it's been around for a long time. I think the Vikings, you know, would...
Oh, on the pyres.
Right, yeah. And or put them in a ship and, you know, set it on fire and so forth. You know, you have those examples. The scattering of the ashes, you know, is kind of a confession against the resurrection. The idea that that, you know, you Christians think that your God is going to raise the body, but if we scatter these ashes to the four winds, you know, or this have this idea that we're sending them back to the elements, that's it.
I was wondering where you were going to take that. That makes sense now.
Yeah. Okay. Huh. However, okay. You know, I mentioned before, you know, bodies tend to break down, and you know, even those who are buried. I mean, if we think about Adam and Eve, are their bodies really, are their bones really still intact? I don't know, but I would venture to guess that, you know, they've gone the way of the breaking down. And yet they're going to be raised.
From dust you were created, and from to dust you shall return.
Right. Dust you are, to the dust you shall return. Yeah. And yet, from the dust, Christ is going to raise raise the dead.
Right.
And so for those who are considering today, and this is very popular. My understanding is up in the northwest part of the country, you know, where I grew up in Montana, I saw this a bit. You know, when someone died, they were cremated, and then their ashes were taken out on their favorite lake or on the top of their favorite mountain, and they were scattered. And I think oftentimes people don't understand kind of the issue with that. So, you know, that's why I always ask the question, okay, why, what does that confess? And what is the better thing for us as Christians to confess here? You know, that this body is going to be raised and when Christ returns.
If you don't mind, I was going to kind of go on to the next question that we have here. Unless you guys want to add anything more.
No, let's go.
Okay. Yeah. So the next thing that people may or may not be thinking about while listening to this program is, okay, and you kind of already answered this, but I want to hit it head on here. People who believe that they could still speak to their loved ones after they have died, or they can still speak to some other random, shall I say, ghost somewhere. You know, you get all these reality TV shows or whatnot, and they have all these equipment. And actually, just here in Lincoln, I saw a small documentary of some sort. Somebody posted on Facebook, and they had a medium go into Robber's Cave, and that person was going to start communicating with the dead there. So the question is when people die, can we really communicate with them?
No. You have the example. We brought up Lazarus. We should mention another Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus talks about you have the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus is poor. He's laying at the gate of the rich man. Both of them die. The rich man goes to hell. Lazarus goes to his comfort, to heaven. Jesus calls Abraham's bosom. And in this event, Jesus says that the rich man asks that Lazarus, first, that he'd come down to hell and serve him, essentially, put a drop of cool water on his tongue. But then when Abraham says no, he says, well, then send him back to my brothers to tell them, essentially, repent so that they don't come here. Mm-hmm. And Abraham says no. We do not communicate with the spirits of the deceased people. Again, you mentioned ghosts. I had in mind the movie Ghost. Was it the 80s?
Yes, the 80s. Yeah.
You know, here this again. This gets into the idea of the spirit being trapped in the body. What was the actor's name?
Patrick Swayze is now dead.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. His character dies, and then his spirit is kind of, you know, roaming around Earth. And is, you know, he attempts to communicate with his wife or whatever the situation was. This also then gets us into the question of witchcraft, you mentioned the mediums and so forth. The scriptures are very clear that that this is demonic, and yeah, that these are not things that should be taking place. So that, you know, I realize we're running kind of short on time here. So to kind of put it simply, those experiences that people may or may not have, or the mediums who supposedly are speaking with the dead, really they are communicating with demonic forces. The demons are known to, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And so he also presents himself as an angel of light. He certainly, can take on and make these experiences to deceive people, mm-hmm, which is ultimately to rob them, of the comfort of Christ, and the true victory over death in the resurrection unto eternal life.
So just before we have about a minute left. So I remember growing up as a kid, there's a couple of kids who wanted me to play a certain board game. And it was called, I couldn't actually pronounce it at the time. The Ouija board? What is that? No, the Ouija board. So should people be messing around with the Ouija board, which has been around for years?
It's just a game.
Yeah. Is it just a game, or yeah, is that something that people should really steer away from?
Steer away from it. Even if we want to say it's just a game, the premise is that that those who are playing it are communicating with the dead, and the scriptures call this witchcraft. It is demonic. One example in the scriptures is the witch of Endor supposedly calling up the spirit of Samuel to speak to Saul, this is purely demonic kind of. Our catechism puts it satanic arts.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the Ouija board is even if people will say, well, it doesn't really work, it doesn't matter. You are messing with Satan. And we ought not be messing with him. He is a defeated enemy, and yet he's also dangerous. He's like the lion at the zoo. He's behind bars, but when you start rattling the cage and sticking your hand in there, you are in real grave danger. And so don't do it. And there's no need to. We have a greater comfort, a greater hope. And that is in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. Well, yeah. Pastor Jesse Burns, thank you for being on the Y-Files this afternoon. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on once again.
Thank you for having me again. It's been a joy.
So he is the pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Ventura, Iowa. So if you happen to be in the area on a Sunday morning, you can go there for a worship service. So you can go to our Facebook page, The Y-Files, and you can submit any question that you might have that pertaining to this program that we can ask pastors on your behalf. So go to the Facebook page and submit a question. You can also go there, like our page, share our page, make any comments on our page. Let people know that this program's out there, because I know there are people like you who have questions like I do and questions like so many other people. So have a good week, Lincoln. We'll see you later. God bless.